Feeling good?
I'm feeling great.
You warmed up? You good? Let's hope our no technical difficulties this time.
Pray to Lord
whenever Jesus. You're ready.
Here we go. Hi, I'm Russ.
And I'm Sean.
And we're two sons of a Russian oligarch who have been making silly things together since we were 10 years old.
From radio shows to home videos, parody commercials and Terminator spoofs, indie films, horror shorts, and now a porn. Wait, have we done a porn?
Oh, we could.
Oh.
But today we're going to mispronounce words,
forget actors' names,
and most importantly, have fun.
This is Just Another Review Podcast.
I like this and you like that. It's Just Another Review Podcast. We pick a show, sit down and chat. Now listen to the start of our show, because it's now.
Now.
This it's podcast, now. We're talking about the movie Anora.
Oh.
From the 2024 year.
Yeah.
Which was last year.
Highly recommended.
Being January 2025. Who recommended it to you? Me? The world?
You were very adamant about seeing
watch
this.
Anora. And,
yeah, I think one of my highly respected...
He respects you. You respect
TV him. And film contributors mm-hmm. on our work message boards. Right. Aaron, good old Aaron.
Hey, Aaron.
When the trailer came out, he was very excited for this being written and directed by Sean Baker.
Who
having also, been a fan of that.
Yes. So Sean Baker did Red Rocket in 2021, The Florida Project in 2017.
Seen that one.
Both I've seen...
I haven't seen Red Rocket. I know what you're talking about.
You
with what's his face?
Yeah, with the what's with the good
with that
old,
guy
with a good old what's his face. But mm-hmm. The Florida Project was on Netflix for a while, so you could see that with William Dafoe, and that was really good. I've only seen Red Rocket and Florida Project once each, and they both enjoyed both of them.
Right, and then another one called Tangerine here,
which was his first film filmed on cell phones.
Oh, I see. Trying to do the Daniel Boyle thing, eh?
Sure.
Sure.
No zombies.
Oh, okay.
This film stars Mikey Madison.
Mickey?
Mickey the Mouse. Mickey the Madison.
Okay. She's a girl.
She's a girl.
With a name called Mikey.
Or Mickey Madison. Yeah. She. Did you ever see the Once Upon a
Hollywood? I did, but I don't know. She must.
She was one of the ones on the farm.
Okay.
On the creepy.
There was quite a few people. I didn't realize Austin Butler was the guy on the horse for the longest time.
Yeah, you almost got to go back and go like, where were they then?
Yeah.
Where are they now?
Where are they now?
She was in Scream in 2022.
That would be remake. Scream 15, probably?
Yeah, that would be the one where Drew Barrymore gets resurrected.
Oh.
Yeah, that's Scream. Mark.
Does she seriously get resurrected?
No, okay. I don't think so.
Okay.
But what a great idea. Silly. I'll sell that idea for $1 million.
Hmm.
Mark Eisdilslich is in
good
this.
Luck pronouncing that last name.
He plays Ivan Vanya, who's the rich son of a Russian oligarch. Yuri Borisov. He plays Igor. Karen Karakagelin plays Taros. And Faust. Tosmaisan plays Garnick.
Garnick.
I got Sharnik? All those names
wrong.
Pronounced correctly.
Okay.
You're welcome. This cost $6 million to make. So far, when I wrote this, they'd made $31.2 million worldwide. I bet you they're still making some money.
I think so.
Bet you that counter is still, going.
I think it'll make a lot once it's on digital release.
Right.
Yeah.
VOD,
yeah.
As the kids say.
Yeah. Especially with all the good press it's got. You know what I mean? Right. Lots of buzz around this movie.
Yeah, it won the festival's Palme d'Or.
Oh, won the Palme d'Or. Isn't that the fan favorite of the festival?
The Anora was? I mean, it
isn't
won.
That what the Palme d'Or
yeah,
is?
Yeah, it's like the big, it's the big award for the whole festival, says Russ, who knows so much about how things work. It's also been nominated for a lot of awards, hasn't really kind of paid off necessarily. It's maybe taking
it's getting nods.
But
no one's taking the gold yet.
Yeah, I think maybe as we encroach onto Oscar season and get closer to the Oscars, maybe Mikey will get an Oscar nomination.
Okay.
Sean Baker probably for script, maybe
right.
Director.
Maybe director, yeah.
But most likely best film nominated. Who knows what it'll win. You want to know the synopsis?
Let's do it.
A rich white dude hires a prostitute to hang out with him.
A tale as old as time.
They see each other as an escape to their current situation.
True as it can be.
And get married in Vegas in hopes that it will change their fate.
barely even friends.
But their love is fleeting as Russian influences bring Vanya back to reality and runs away.
Then somebody bends unexpectedly.
After chasing Vanya across Brooklyn, the marriage is annulled in Vegas. Vanya is taken back to Russia, and Annie cracks her hard demeanor, revealing all her pent-up sadness.
Tale as old as time, beauty and the beast.
And that is Anora.
That is Anora.
I was trying to make the connection with the Julia Roberts movie where she's a prostitute. Remember that one?
Pretty Woman.
Pretty Woman.
Yeah. And then, oh, yeah. I guess it's kind of, well, no, it's not the same thing.
Well, there is connections to it for sure. And Sean Baker did that purposely as well. But, but you know, it is a rebaked idea of like a man kind of getting involved in a prostitute's life and almost like taking her out of it. This is obviously
trying to sweep her off her feet.
Sweep her off her
right,
feet.
Right. And give her a change of life.
This obviously has more twists and a little bit more, perhaps...
more boobs, definitely.
Than Julia Roberts' movie.
Yep. Yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah.
Did you enjoy Nora?
Oh yeah, it starts off with a bang, eh? Bang. Starts off in the stripper club, and if you're a red-blooded male, and, you know, lots of boobies and shaking your booty in your face, so engages you pretty quick.
Which you wouldn't like if you were a blue-blooded male.
No, blue-blooded males.
Blue-blooded
males don't like them bloobs.
But red-blooded males might like them boobs.
Yeah, we like...
I want my dicks up! Whoa, Ice-T. Was the song called Strippers?
That song's called Strippers.
By Ice-T?
Ice-T, yeah.
I like a good glass of iced tea. Mm. You prefer your iced tea sweet?
I like my iced tea in CSI Miami.
Who are you? So
I was trying to do a David, what's his name? David Caruso. Yeah, I was trying to do a one-liner there, but I don't got it.
I guess this chick's got
on top.
Some chicks ride the pole and others poles ride
them. She's on top of everything.
She got underneath this.
That's Mario, Sean.
It's me,
Mario. So this movie starts off very erotic, almost like an erotica, and then it switches to romance. Ivan, the son of a Russian oligarch. I can't pronounce that word.
It would feel like it's like a status, like a high-ranking
king, sort of
mafia
royalty.
Sure, yeah, royalty.
Okay. Okay, son of Russian royalty.
Son of a preacher man.
Yeah, yeah. He's hired her for sex.
I don't know if I'd say he falls.
Did you just belch and talk at the same time? Yeah, I tried to.
No one noticed.
I tried to cover it up there.
No,
you noticed.
Wow. I didn't point it out.
So he hires her for sex and ends up, I don't know if I'd say falling in love with her, but enjoys her company.
Yeah, I think everything's kind of like nothing's real for him. He's got so much money and he doesn't give a shit about anybody other than himself. Every time I swear I put a lotion in the basket. Mm. So I think he enjoys her as like he enjoys a pet.
Right.
He loves her like, you know, that.
Does he love her more than video games, though?
No.
I don't think so.
No, when he's playing video games, he's fully dialed in.
He is. Hey, he's serious about them video games.
It's hard. Like, what would you do if you were like, you could either have sex with Mikey Madison or play video games? What would you do? As a red-blooded male, if I asked you as a blue-blooded male, it might be different.
Let's just say, would I rather have sex or play video games?
Oh.
I'd rather have sex.
Okay.
I don't want to get in trouble here.
Have you ever played sexy video games?
No, I've never played a sexual video. Oh, wait, Leisure Suit Larry, I think, was kind of sexual, wasn't it?
What was that, Monkey Island?
Monkey Island. No, Monkey Island was not what you think it was.
Sexy time with the monkeys. Okay, so, like you said.
Anyways, erotica. Romance.
Like, the show at first is a romantic comedy.
Well, right? Yeah. I was just saying that it goes from erotic to the kind of romance, drama, and then it turns into a comedy,
right.
And then there's even a little bit of action in it.
And I would say it's more intense. Like, once the Russians start understanding what he's done, that he's getting married, the tone shifts, because the, you know, those the characters.
Right. Ivan the Terrible runs away, and they go on the quest to find him.
Yeah, right? But even that part, that a lot, that huge scene when they're in the house, and there's like the Tauros and Garnick and Igor, and they're all there, and she's fighting.
Right.
And it's super intense, and it's kind of like the end of... what's the Paul Thomas Anderson Boogie Nights, where they're, that guy's lighting off the fireworks and everything's so intense and you have right. no idea who's going to yeah. live and die and what's going to happen. And it's kind of like you're on the edge of your seat at that point. But then, yeah, so then it turns into like a comedy of errors when they're driving around Brooklyn trying yeah. to find Igor, and everything is just so funny. And then it gets really, then once everything kind of calms down, there's that last 20 minutes just really sad.
Yeah.
And it's more of a dramatic movie, and it plays all those themes perfectly.
Yeah,
like I went for the whole ride. It was
a great marriage. Yeah, amazing. Like kudos to the Sean Baker,
kudos to Sean Baker
for intertwining all these genres into one another.
Yeah,
and, no, and giving us an engaging story. Right,
you did great. Should we rate this thing?
Mm-mm. You're ready to rate it already,
dude?
Well, can we talk just a little okay, bit more about it?
You can talk a little bit more.
All right. All right. Do you think they were ever in love, or do you think it was just a marriage of convenience almost for the both of them?
I think it was a honeymoon phase of love. I think like he really enjoyed her, and she really enjoyed... I bet you she loved the idea of him. She loved the idea of getting out of her current situation. And he just loved the idea of probably not having to go back to Russia and work for his dad.
Right. And she liked the idea of not having to go back to a roommate and living check to check or whatever.
Exactly.
I mean, she just had this plethora of wealth in front of
right.
her, right?
Right. Yeah, which she had never experienced before. And who wouldn't say, who wouldn't just scoff at that? I mean, that would be a hard person to walk away from that.
So I don't get the Garnick guy. He's a priest or something, or he's in the church, but then he works for this royalty guy, which is almost Russian mafia like.
Yeah.
And he has no problem threatening women and this and that. And
I would assume his whole, like, I'm sure he's placed in the Russian church
hypocritical.
Through influential aspects. So like everything in his life, his comfort, his wage, it's probably all somehow tied to Ivan's dad or Ivan's family. So like he is the reason he is in America living the life he's living and in the status he's living is because he's on the payroll. And so when Ivan's dad says, you need to fix this, he needs to fix this, or he loses his job. Maybe he even loses, maybe that's the tie-in with the mafia idea. Like if he fucks this up, he's dead.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Do you know what the difference is between a priest and acne?
A priest?
And acne?
And acne. No, what's
that? Acne doesn't come on your face till you're 12 years old. You know how they could have really solved this Ivan character, the spoiled brat? They should have just canceled his credit card.
Yeah.
I think that would have toned him down quite a bit.
That could have done it for sure. It wouldn't have been as an interesting film.
You think it's the first time they've had to chase after him?
I think it's they know
it's not the first time they've had to get him out of trouble.
Yeah, Garnick mentions that he kind of gets in trouble and he usually needs to be watched. But I guess they've always kind of managed it. He's even in like that big party that they have in the house prior to them getting married. Garnick is there, kind of in the background, kind of managing the crowd. So they're all, like he's always kind of there in the background, just making sure things are kosher, but never has to take a full fist involvement as he does when he gets married
right
to Annie.
What do you think happens at the end there when she breaks down like that? Do you think she just has all the, it was just, she's just finally releasing the full situation, or do you think there's more to it than that?
So Sean talks about probably one of the most important scenes at the very end, where you've got Igor and
spoiler alert,
it's completely spoiler for the movie Anora. So finally, Annie and Igor
she pays Igor the only way she knows possible, repaying him with sex, right?
Right. Like I think it's like that conflict of like, you know, she deals with sex, but sex is also what we do when we love somebody, and so like there's that huge imbalance of that, and then she's. She doesn't trust people, and why would she? She's got like a hard shell, and there's this guy now doing something nice for her, and she's just had a night of hell where she hasn't slept. And
so what I mean, like, do you think she was repaying him, or do you think she was actually having sex out of feelings for him.
I think both.
Right.
Yeah. I honestly don't think she likes him. Like, I don't think Igor is necessarily the good guy here. I think Igor is the less of a creep than Ivan, but I don't think he's necessarily a good guy. And she treats him like shit the whole time.
Right.
And I would assume she does that because he did hold her back and kind of mess with her.
Well, he was the most physical one with her, right? Right.
Yeah. And so she's calling him on that bullshit. She probably sees that she can manipulate him as well. But I don't know. Like, I think there's so many things going on. And that's why it's such a cool scene, is that you can read into it so many different ways. And there's also right in her face. Like, she's so many things. Emotions are going through her eyes. Like, many times throughout the movie, she has that where she's just playing such a third dimensional character, fourth dimensional, fifth dimensional. There's so many things going on.
Seventh dimension?
She's in the seventh dimension.
Could she be in the eighth dimension?
I mean, if I was a blue-blooded male, I'd say so.
What about the ninth dimension?
That's too far.
Okay. Stop it there.
Too far. Should we rate this thing?
This shit is awesome.
You suck.
No, you suck.
So we both have two ways of rating our movies. I let you know if it's better or worse than The Great Outdoors, and Sean rates it by a JARP scale, which is basically a 0 to 5. Doesn't really give zeros, nope. But he lets you know from 1 to 5 how good it was.
I have
5
a
being
system.
The best, 1 being the
I
little.
Have a system.
You have a whole Excel calculation.
Yeah, I have a whole Excel sheet that goes through different areas right. of filmmaking, and I give it a score of 0 to 5, and then it tallies it all up, and then it averages it out. So, yeah.
So you
there is science behind my number.
Okay, well, you go then.
I give this a 4.5, which is pretty high.
That's pretty high.
Pretty high. I was pleasantly surprised with the story. Hooks you in with erotica, makes you interested with romance, keeps you going with the comedy and adventure, and then comes full circle and makes you think at the end. Two nice, perky boobs up for me.
Well, that's a very red-blooded thing to say. I give this a way better than The Great Outdoors.
Way better?
Way better.
Way better.
Way better. Okay. If I dealt with numbers, which I don't, they'd be pretty high.
It's never good at maths.
Yeah, just the pacing, the humor, the suspense, the romance, the charm, everything. This is a great movie. Probably one of my favorite movies, if not my favorite movie of 2024.
Because of the perky boobs. Come on.
So Anora did not win a Golden Globe.
No. Got recognized, though, right?
It got recognized.
Yeah, we talked about that.
And it's not to say that Golden Globes are a complete precursor to what happens in the Oscars, but
small, tantalizing, some carryover, right? I think that's fair to say.
Yeah, more so than maybe in the past. Now, with the changes of the Golden Globes, but...
I got a feeling the Brutalist is going to clean house.
You think so, yeah.
I don't know. I haven't even seen it, so
no one's seen it.
And talked again.
No one's seen the Brutalist.
I know, because it's 3.5 hours long.
Well, and because, like, can you go to a local theater right now? No.
No, you've got to go to one of them special theaters.
One of them special theaters
where the guy's in the background and all he can think about is...
I want my dicks up! Architecture.
Yeah.
So Brutalist, you think might clean up based on...
I think I've just got that feeling it's gonna be that one movie that nobody has seen except the critics that's just gonna end up cleaning house.
Yeah. I mean, they send screeners to everybody who gets to vote on
all the important people.
These type of things.
I don't get a screener.
And then if that happens, then the Brutalist will come to theaters if it hasn't been in theaters yet, and we will get to see it then.
I think a 3.5 hour movie, I'll wait till it comes on
video. Oh, you won't want to go?
Digital release.
You don't want to go to the movies?
Maybe. Probably not.
It's a big commitment.
My hemis can't handle that.
There's an intermission.
Okay. I can pat my bum then.
Also, for my end... Kunk on Life.
Kunk on Life.
Did you ever see Kunk on Earth?
I think I've seen a partial episode of that.
Yeah,
a female detective?
No.
Okay, then no, I don't know what you're talking about.
I mean, she is a female comedian.
Okay.
But
not a detective?
Not a detective.
Is she a... Oh, man.
No. And I almost she's not a stripper okay. saying that. It follows Filomena Kunk, and she's
that sounds like a. I'm gonna put a coin in the jar just for
I'm saying
that.
Kunk.
Oh man, quit it.
Anyways, there's Kunk on Earth, which is like a series on Netflix, which I recommend if you haven't seen. And they just released a movie called Kunk on Life, super funny. She's just so sarcastic, and she's so dry with her humor. She just—it's like a nature documentary, like an Earth, like a documentary on life. And okay. So she walks around and just says like idiotic things, but straight faced, and then
tries to see people's reactions or what?
Maybe. I don't think she cares. Like, I think probably the producers and the writers care about what people react to, but she's just dry pan, and she just says ridiculous things, and she interviews real. Research like real academics,
okay,
and she just
about life,
about like she'll go through like from evolution to religion to technology, and she just asks the most ridiculous and stupid questions.
She sounds like a real cunk.
Go watch Cunk on Life.
Mm. I'm watching a bunch of Taylor Sheridan stuff right now. Landman with Billy Bob Thornton.
You must got the
Thornton.
Billy Bob Thornton
got the Paramount. You got Plus.
Paramount Plus
or Paramount Plus? Yeah.
You got the Paramount.
Or Plus. You can just grab them off the internet.
Come on, you pay like every law-abiding citizen.
I do. I pay. Landman, Billy Bob Thornton. It is ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Okay.
I think it's like a train wreck. Once you start watching it, you just got to finish it. My wife likes it. She doesn't like Billy Bob Thornton in general, but really likes him in this. Oh. And I'm the inverse. I like Billy Bob Thornton in just about everything else other than this. So, yeah.
Did you like it when he carried Angelina Jolie's blood in a vial?
Yeah. And then they had sex right before that interview. Yeah. Right before the awards. Anyways, it's okay. It's entertaining. It's obviously about the oil sands in Texas and the big business behind it and all the litigations and trials and tribulations of trying to keep it going, mixed up with drug cartels and a nuclear family and all that kind of stuff. But it is very melodramatic. It's very soap opera. And the writing for Taylor Sheridan, it's weak. Does he have
any good shows?
Well, I'm watching Lionist right now, which is another Taylor Sheridan show with Zoe Salada.
Salada Sonata.
It's about a secret CIA team. No, I guess they're not that secret. I just told you about them. But it's about a female CIA operative who runs a small group. And they're trying to infiltrate a Kuwaiti
classic
Saudi Arabian family by using
take them down.
She's trained an asset that they call a marine to play a role and get in good with the wife with the daughter of someone they're after. Anyways, I'm about 6 episodes on season 1 into it, and it's pretty good. It's really enjoyable,
and that's got 2 seasons.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
So somebody liked it.
Paramount Plus,
Apple TV, I believe.
No, it's on Paramount Plus. It's all Taylor Sheridan.
Okay,
this is all part of the Taylor Sheridan universe.
I guess MTV produces it because they've got that little
MTV
does a little bumper at the very beginning of all of them.
I mean, is MTV part of the Paramount universe?
Fuck if I know.
The cinematic universe.
Hey, are you watching any of those flicks I gave you for Christmas?
I don't have a smart TV, so I haven't started them yet. I probably play them on my work. Laptop.
You don't have a USB input on any of your TVs?
Not that works.
Oh,
that I'm aware of.
Have you tried it?
I tried.
Okay.
On this TV.
He's pointing
at a TV.
My junk. Yeah. That's not a TV.
It's not a TV. But Sean got me a very nice Christmas present. It has all of the episodes of
Adventure Time.
Adventure Time on it. Captured
got legally. The Office UK on there,
which I have already.
Oh, okay. I kind of thought you did, but I didn't know.
And then one of the best cartoons ever,
Scavenger's Reign.
Scavenger's Reign.
Yeah.
Hopefully, they do more Scavenger's
Reign. I think I put Workaholics on there too.
No, I don't think you did.
Oh, are you sure?
Maybe you did. I'll check again.
Yeah. Which I like to watch an episode before going to bed every night. It's funny. I think it's funny. It's so stupid, but it's funny.
And do you want to play a random movie, a trivia game?
Play what?
Random movie trivia game.
Yes, please.
That's when
Russ cheats.
I fan out a bunch of cards. Sean can pick randomly out of a stack of like thousands of cards.
He always does this. Pick this one, and he like shoves it in my face.
And I can pick one too. And each one has 4 questions that we've never seen before.
Okay, 2 of these seem hard.
No, this is might be. Okay, here we go.
You ready?
So ready.
Who's going first?
Whoever gets the most answers correct wins life.
Yeah, life.
Life. Kunk on Life.
You ready?
Yep.
What animated film beat out Incredibles 2 to win the Oscar for Best Animated Feature? Beat out Incredibles 2 Best Animated Feature. You really like this movie.
Oh. Inside Up? Incredibles
2. Wrong answer, motherfucker!
No, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Ah, gosh. You confused me with I really like this movie.
You didn't really like that one?
No, I do like it. I just didn't understand the context. I'm like, do I ever talk about Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse? No. But it would make sense that it would have come from a different distribution. Anyways, wouldn't have been another Disney movie.
Hit me.
Who played Archie Leach in A Fish Called Wanda? Who plays Archie Leach in A Fish Called Wanda?
I'm just going to take a stab at it and say John Cleese.
I mean, that's the best stab you can make.
And?
Correct.
Nice.
Spider-Man.
In Pirates of the Caribbean, The Curse of the Black Pearl, the one that none of us have seen, who commands...
Oh, that's the first one.
Who commands the Cursed Black Pearl? I think it's the second one.
No, I think the Black Pearl is the first one, I'm pretty sure.
All right. Who commands the Cursed Black Pearl? I'll give you the first name. Captain.
Captain Jack Sparrow.
No.
Wrong answer, motherfucker!
That's be Captain Barbossa.
Sure. Maybe that is the second one. Who knows? Who plays Butch in Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid?
That would be Paul Newman.
Sure, yeah. Wow. There's no way that I can...
I watched The Color of Money over the Christmas break. And that's old Scorsese movie, Paul Newman and Tom Cruise about pool. Yeah, it's really good.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's really good.
Okay.
Who plays Oscar Schindler in Schindler's List? Three parts. You can pick from these three names.
Great.
Liam Neeson.
Right.
Neeson, sorry.
Perfect.
Tom Hanks.
Right.
Or Russell Crowe.
I'm going to say Liam Nelson.
Liam Nelson. All right, I'll give it to you.
You need to get this wrong, which you won't. Who did Rami Malek play in Bohemian Rhapsody?
Oh, he played the lead singer of Queen, whose name is Freddie Mercury.
Okay, you would now win.
Woohoo!
Do you want to just do the last two here? See if I can get one more?
Sure, let's see. Okay. True or false? Okay, so you got a 50-50 shot. Here, nobody makes it out of the cube in the movie Cube. Canadian-made movie.
Oh, really?
Canadian-made horror movie. Cube.
Well, I mean, usually, I'm going to say true. Nobody makes it out.
Oh, man.
Wrong answer, motherfucker!
Someone always makes it out, right? Someone always survives. The virgin.
Yeah.
Your last is, what is the name of
Well, I won, but yeah, sure.
Might not get this. What is the name of the robot in The Day the Earth Stood Still?
Oh. 85741.
Gort.
Oh.
Loser.
Wrong answer, what motherfucker!
Idiot.
Okay.
Well. Everybody, thanks for coming and watching. Thanks for coming over and putting this, putting our voices in your ears.
All right.
All right, buddy.
Well, this has been a quick one. We're experimenting, so yeah. We'll aren't you gonna say something?
Happy New Year, love everybody.
Oh, I love you too. Goodbye. Wait, I'm not ready. Now I'm ready.
I like this and you like that. It's just another review podcast. We pick a show, sit down and chat. Now listen to the start of our show, 'cause it's now.